Well, it's good to be back at Laurel Heights United Methodist Church. I love coming here and worshiping here, and when I'm given the opportunity to share a message or offer a prayer. So good morning, all of you. Well, I have this absolutely love and passion for travel. And like many of you, you've had many plans, whether it's been in the spring or this summer or even thinking about ahead in the fall, that you've either had to postpone or cancel altogether. So I get a little antsy if I'm not getting to travel, and over the last couple years, I particularly have enjoyed international travel. Despite some of my antsiness, I have taken to exploring travel through books, different reading, and there are so many virtual tours one can take. So for instance, I recently read a story of a small town in Central Europe. It was some years ago when this traveler went to the village on a trip and saw something that just absolutely fascinated him, something so very strange to him. The traveler noticed that the local townspeople each and every day were performing a highly unusual ritual. There was a certain very ordinary looking wall in the center of town, and the traveler noticed that as the townspeople walked past, they would nod in the direction of this wall, and then they would form a cross as they walked by. Now, some would walk briskly by, others more intentionally, more slowly, yet they all did the same thing. They would nod at the wall and place a sign of the cross on their head. So this traveler became very curious, and he asked some of the townspeople why they did this, and to his amazement, their reply was, "We don't really know. We've just always done it this way. It's not only a tradition for us, but it is a time-honored ritual." Well, the traveler's curiosity got the best of him, and he began secretly one day chipping away at the dirt and the paint on this ordinary-looking wall in the center of town. And what he discovered underneath that dirt and the grime and years of wear and tear was this beautiful mural of Mary and the baby Jesus. You see, it had been an altar of prayer for generations and generations in the center of this small town. However, succeeding generations didn't know this. There was no depth to their root system. There was no understanding and significance of this ritual. The townspeople for generations just modeled the ritual but really didn't understand or even know the historical or the theological significance. You see, the importance of this tradition, of this ritual, just withered away. And as a result of the lack of depth and the understanding, the town people just became complacent. It's just something they did. It became so casual, so matter-of-fact, so shallow, the practice didn't lead to any kind of fruitfulness, and therefore it offered no impact, no inspiration towards growth. Have you ever found yourself going through the motions, especially these days, rather than being more attentive to what's going on around you, perhaps experiencing even difficulty in keeping your focus? I know I have, since the beginning of this pandemic especially. A friend recently shared something with me that I found very interesting. She said, "Have you found in these extraordinary, challenging times, have you felt like maybe you're experiencing empty barrel faith? An empty barrel faith? Going through your day expecting for things to run out." Now, we can easily equate this to resources like toilet paper and paper towels and hand sanitizers and ground beef. But what if we thought of this empty faith, empty barrel of faith, diminishing our energy, our purpose, our confidence, and even our faith? Or is your barrel full? Believing and trusting that God is present in the joy-filled times as well as in the times of fear and frustration, hopelessness, and loss. Being firmly rooted in embracing and engaging in the life that God has given, this can be a difficult feat anytime. But even more so in these strange, uncertain, divisive times. You know, I've heard from so many, and I can say this has been my experience. I've woken my husband up many times, scaring him to death, thinking he's missed a staff meeting because the days just flow together. It's hard to keep track one day from the other. You see, God doesn't want us just to be merely going through the motions, or as a town people in this small European village, God doesn't want empty rituals and traditions. So turning to our scripture passage this morning that I read, Jesus offers this teaching moment through the sharing of a short faith story, in other words, a parable. And Laura, you did a beautiful job describing a parable. So the gospel writer is intentional in the placement of this particular story. The gospel writer sandwiches this teaching moment between stories of opposition of the gospel. For instance, we're in chapter 13. If you look back to Matthew 11 and 12, you're going to find all kinds of stories, both of opposition to Jesus's ministry and to misunderstanding. Now, we're in the very beginning of chapter 13, but if you go to the end of 13, you're going to hear that even Jesus' hometown questions his wisdom and his power, seeing him simply as a son of a carpenter rather than the prophet that he is. Theologian C.H. Dodd suggests that Jesus spoke in parables in order to tease the mind of hearers into active thought. In other words, like the first listeners, parables serve to draw us into a new awareness, a deeper, more rooted way of thinking and understanding that leads to action. So to accomplish this, Jesus often used images and situations that were relevant to his audience of the time, common things to everyday peasant life. So he begins a series of parables with this parable of the sower. So speaking to this large crowd that is gathered and using the scenario of a farmer, which is God in the story, planting seeds, Matthew uses the seeds to describe God's good news. God scatters these seeds among four soil types. I am so sorry, I have a tickle in my throat this morning. So he talks about hard-packed soil, shallow, thorny, and good soil. That good soil, kind of like if you go to one of my favorite gardening stores and it costs like $19.99 for a 10-pound bag. But an interesting side note, as mentioned, Jesus often uses common life images to draw his hearers. So how ironic it is, since the start of the pandemic, that many of us have been engaged in a new hobby, or perhaps we went back to a hobby that we had let go by the wayside. A lot of people have returned or started gardening. In fact, a recent article that I read was appropriately titled, Peas Like Peas, Little Green Peas, Peas and Quiet, In Times of Turbulence, Americans Turn to Gardening. So as people shelter in place and worry about the cost and availability of groceries, many of us have found reassurance and relaxation in the timeless ritual of planting and watering and tending to our gardens. In fact, the co-founder of an app called Grow It has seen tenfold growth just since the spring in its users. And then how many of us, I knew I grew up with that popular Burpee Seed catalogs coming out. Well, Burpee Seed Company, just since the spring, has seen more seed sales just since this spring than in their 144-year history. I find that so interesting. But let's turn back to our parable. Jesus uses parables as a teaching tool, and he would often conclude his storytelling by offering an explanation. The parable of the four different types of soil and the seed scattered, the hardened, the shallow, the thorny, and the good. Jesus uses this to remind the disciples and now us the necessary conditions for fruitful discipleship. For instance, in order for us to grow as followers of Jesus, it's crucial to understand. But we can't just stop at saying we understand. We need to incorporate active listening that plays a huge part in our understanding. And there's study and action and persevering when confronted with opposition and persecution. In fact, in Matthew 13:21, now this is my interpretation of this short verse, says, joy in response to receiving the good news of the gospel is wonderful, it's uplifting, yet Jesus warns, as followers, troubles or persecution will arise. Without a strong root system, without this strong foundation, the disciples nor us will be prepared. So I invite you to listen now to Jesus' explanation for the message. This is a modern-day biblical translation from Matthew 13, 18 through 23. And as you do, think about your own gardening experience, maybe your farming experience. And even if you don't have that kind of experience, you can picture the different types of soils. We all have had a variety of pathways we have walked, from hard, dusty pathways, which isn't hard these days, in these coming days with this incredible heat that we're experiencing. And we've all smelled the freshness and the moistness of soil after a good rain. So from the message, hear Jesus' explanation to the disciples. When anyone hears good news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it remains just on the surface. And so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. Now remember, Matthew equates the seeds to God's good word, and the evil one in our story is the blackbird that steals the seeds. So now this farmer scatters on the road. The seed cast in the gravel, this is the person that hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm. They're so excited. Yet there's no soil of character, no depth. And so when the emotions, when the passion wears off and some difficulty happens, troubles, temptation, or something better arrives, there's nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds is a person who hears the good news of the gospel message. But weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun is heard, and then nothing comes of it. The seed cast on good earth, the soil, is the person who hears and actively takes in the good news and then produces a harvest beyond his or her wildest dreams. Understanding, a deep understanding through active listening, enables the disciples to act. So for the gospel writer, without active listening, which leads to understanding, the word, the good news, finds no place to implant, to become firmly grounded, and that ever near evil one, like those hovering birds in this morning's story, snatches away the potential of a growing disciple, inhibiting the disciple's ability of building a deep relationship, a long-lasting relationship with God, possibly taking away any sustainability, and the disciple being able to grow into one's potential, taking away our ability to grow into one's potential. So the question is, just like Miss Laura pointed out to all of you this morning, and I tell you, children's messages, I love children's messages. I gain so much from them. And it is true, it's like, what is it that we can take away? We can hear this story, we can hear the explanation, but what did this mean to the people in Jesus' time from so long ago? And how is it that we can apply this to our life to make it relevant today? Now, the question most often asked with regards to this parable is, why would the farmer scatter such precious resources, the seed, the good news, on barren soil, on rocky soil, on wheat field soil? Even the most inexperienced farmer or gardener would assume that the most logical place to scatter and grow the seed is on the good, well-prepared soil, the soil which provides the greatest potential for growth. But Jesus' point is discriminate. God does not discriminate. And although that God is always present and active in our lives, this illustrates that God, the farmer, scatters the seed and then moves on. We can suppose that the seed is never called into question. It's all good. The seeds are scattered, and then it's up to us, the soil, as to how we are to respond or how we're going to respond. We, you and I, are the recipients of the sower's seed. It's how we reject, how we embrace, how we nurture and nourish the seed that determines our fruitfulness as disciples and the depth and the sustaining power of our rootedness. The great news for us is this very fact that the farmer throws seeds not only on the good soil, but also, and listen closely to this, not only on the good soil, but also amid the rock, the barren, the broken places in our lives, in order to suggest that God's vision for the world itself is apprehended in strange and broken and uncertain times and places. So where do we see ourselves? Picture this image of all the different soil types. Like the hard-packed soil, where the seed cannot take root and the birds simply come along and devour the seed, never providing a chance for growth or fruitfulness. And when this happens, we never start or we stop this act of listening, this understanding. We become hardened by life, and this hard-packed soil person becomes closed-minded. Have you ever met a closed-minded person? Have you ever felt closed-minded yourself? It's easy to become distrusting, easy to surrender to life's trials and difficulties and temptations that come our way. A strong root system, foundation, never has the opportunity to develop, which causes one's ability to form a solid relationship with God. That's at risk. Or do we see ourselves as rocky soil? Other seeds fell on rocky ground where the soil was shallow. The seed immediately sprouted, yet there was no depth. And as fast as the seed sprouted, that passion, that excitement, any growth just withered away. So to equate this image to our rootedness as disciples, the good news is heard, but the root system, again, has no depth. So think about those townspeople, again, in that small European village who for generations would nod and form the sign of the cross as they casually walked past, or even briskly walked past that wall. They went through the motions, but it offered no impact. in their lives, no spiritual growth opportunity. For the rocky soil person, the initial response is enthusiasm. We all love those kind of folks. And we might see that even in ourselves. This person might attend worship or be joining us on a regular basis, yet over time, the attendance diminishes. This person might serve as a volunteer, join a small group study, engage in a mission outreach project, and be super pumped and excited. But then life happens. A crisis occurs, a challenge, a trial, a full-blown storm like this pandemic. Recall the analogy of that empty barrel faith versus a full barrel faith. The rocky soil person may grasp the challenge initially, but retreat from the pain. Seek Christ's beautiful gift of good news, but in the end, resent the cost. Perhaps we find ourselves open to hearing the good news of the gospel, but we are choked by cares of the world. Some of the scattered seeds fell among the weeds and the thorns and eventually obstructed the growth of the plants. In this parable, Jesus went on to explain that thorns and weeds of life can be worry, anxiety, fear, anger. We talked about being dead, the inability to forgive. And perhaps a relationship with God has been built, yet any fruitful growth as a disciple is overcome by these weeds of life. Have you ever met that person? Have you ever looked in the mirror and maybe you say, oh my gosh, that's me. And then there's the good soil, the $19.99 bag of potting soil. And it does work, by the way. The seed cast on good earth is the person who actively listens, works on understanding, listens to different perspectives and viewpoints without growing angry, takes in the good news and then produces a harvest beyond one's wildest dreams. Do you see yourself as the good soil? Is your root system, your faith sustaining even in the most trying and difficult times? Thomas Merton, he was a 20th century Catholic monk, writes, and I'm paraphrasing a bit. He says, every moment and every event in a person's life on earth plants something in his or her soul. For just as the wind carries thousands of winged seeds, so each and every moment brings with it microbes of spiritual vitality that come to rest unassumably in the minds and the wills of each and every person. Tragically, most of these unnumbered seeds perish and they are lost. For such seeds as these cannot spring up anywhere except in that good receptive soil of freedom, spontaneity, and love. You see, Thomas Merton is inviting us to see that Jesus' parable of the sower is not about that occasional moment when God or you or I, through our witness, sows seeds about God or about good news. Rather, everything at every moment and every part of our lives is a seed infused with life-giving spiritual importance and potential. The soil that we find ourselves, hard-packed, shallow, rock-filled, or thorn-infested, in each arising moment affects how we receive the seeds of experience that are always being sown around us, within us, and beyond us. Many a gardener arrives. Good and receptive soil doesn't just happen. The soil must be tilled. It must be fertilized to be good and fruitful soil, which is equating to growing disciples, there must be, again, I can't emphasize it enough, active listening. In fact, Jesus underscores listening twice just in this short faith story. Understanding, attentiveness to scripture, spiritual practices, and perseverance. God does not discriminate. The seeds are scattered, but it is up to each of us individually and collectively as to how we're going to respond. We are the recipients of the sower's good. It's how we reject, embrace, nurture, nourish, and harvest the seed that is the saving gospel message. That's what determines fruitfulness as a disciple for you and I, and sustains us with strength and power that gives us this deep foundation and root system and the very relationship with our Creator. Yes, Jesus often taught in parables in order to tease the mind of his hearers into this active thought, to draw us into a new awareness, a deeper, more rooted way of thinking, understanding, and action, which all leads to this more life-sustaining relationship with God. And that life-sustaining relationship with God affects all that we are, all that we do, and all that we impart in every part, in every moment of our lives. I was raised in a community in Ohio where farming and gardening was a way of life. And I have heard it said more than once this: there are certain very stabilizing forces in gardening and farming that can ground us when we're feeling shaky, uncertain, and terrified, really. It's these predictable outcomes, these predictable rhythms of a garden and gardening that are especially comforting to us right now in the midst of such uncertainty. This is the God that this parable calls us to trust. Jesus knows the hard ways of the world. He knows what we're going through. We are not alone. We are also taught the abundant ways of God. So where do we see ourselves in this parable? Hardened soil, rocky soil, soil choked by weeds and thorns, or good soil? Let us pray. O merciful God, you know the things that fight and struggle within us. You know the places where our soil is barren. You know the burdens we bear, the places where we are hurting and in need of healing. And you also know and share with us in those times filled with joy. We ask this day that you help us to know and trust you more, so that we can truly live as Jesus exampled. So God, please guide us as we continue to grow as your disciples. It is in your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.